Hey everyone, welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from TCO Studios at Winter Park. Producer Nate Vaughn by my side as usual. Our bags are packed. We're ready to go to Indianapolis, but we want to do one thing before we head out of town and get to the Combine. We want to preview the Combine and the upcoming launch of the new league year with our friend, Alex Marvez, a Sirius XM NFL radio host, a columnist for the Sporting News. He does a lot of other really cool things. You may know him from a variety of different platforms or avenues, but he's with us right now to talk some football. Hello, Alex. How are you, man?
Wally, thanks for having me. Look forward to seeing you in Indianapolis, but hope to help all the Vikings fans get a head start on the Combine week coming up in just hours from now.
Yeah, isn't it? That's always an interesting part about the Combine, Alex, is it's not just about the draft-eligible guys. There's a lot of other business to talk about as well.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, right now this is a Vikings team that doesn't look like they're going to be franchising any players. But, mm-hmm. you know, agents whisper. And, you know, they may have some things to say, some thoughts on what's going to be happening in free agency, whether with their own clients or clients who may potentially be on the radar for the Minnesota Vikings. Of course, you know, these things regarded as tampering, so you don't want mm-hmm. to get involved in breaking any NFL rules. But what's weird about this year is that the NFL Scouting Combine moved back 1 week per the request of NFL teams. So this is, we're off to a later start now. It's going to be heading right into free agency. So yeah. This is a little bit of a different run here. So, I mean, a lot of meetings are going to be set up, you know, in preparation for March 6th, the first day of the legal negotiation period, going into March 9th, the start of that free agent signing period.
Yeah, and that is an interesting part about this. I mean, basically, teams will get back to their home cities, and they will wake up the next day, and it's time to start talking turkey in that three-day window. So you have the franchise tag deadline, as Alex just said. That happens while we're at the Combine. Free agent speculation will be happening during the Combine, the three-day window right after we get back, and then free agency in the new league year launch on March 9th, which is a week from this Thursday. You can stay up to date on all of the news that's happening via Alex, whether it's on Sirius XM NFL Radio or on his Twitter handle, at Alex Marvez. Lots of good information there. Alex, the Vikings will not be short on interesting offseason talkers this year. So where to start is tough to say, but we're going to go with Adrian. And, you know, with the situation that is coming up with him, it's going to be in the news. It's going to be talked about at the Combine. Curious what your perspective is on the Vikings and Adrian Peterson as we head into 2017.
Well, I mean, I'm trying not to read too much into Adrian Peterson's state of mind, but when he starts talking about other teams on his Twitter account and he starts talking about them in other interviews, it seems to me like maybe Adrian Peterson has said goodbye in his own mind to the Minnesota Vikings. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't believe, Wobby, that they talk numbers yet as far as a contract renegotiation goes. Adrian turns 32 on March 21st, and this Vikings team and this medical staff, just as importantly, headed by Eric Sugarman, one of the best in the business, you know, they know all about Adrian Peterson and how much wear and tear that he suffered. And Rick Spielman, I'm sure, is going to ask them, if he hasn't already, about that situation, how much good football they would think that Adrian Peterson has left to play. Then you have to come up with a price tag. And you know, honestly, are there better players, or maybe better players at this point in your career? And I say better, talking about more reliable guys, maybe a little less prone to injuries. Mm-hmm. Are you able to get by a little bit more on the cheap with another running back and start new, like with a college running back, for example, than you would by re-signing Adrian Peterson? I mean, because Adrian, to me, if he stays in Minnesota, he would expect to be a bell cow running back. But is Adrian at this point really a bell cow running back? It's so hard for me as well to gauge the free agent market for Adrian Peterson, because I don't know if there's a team right out there that has a huge glaring need for running back that's going to be breaking down the door to sign Adrian Peterson. I'm not sure if the New York Giants, a team he's tweeted about, really have interest themselves. I could tell you this, two teams that are in the NFC North may have interest in Adrian Peterson, talking about the Detroit Lions, talking about the Green Bay Packers, you know, because it's someone who'd obviously be very motivated to play against the Vikings if they don't keep him. So there'll be a market, but how big that market is and whether the Vikings can strike pay dirt on a number that would keep them happy and Adrian happy, well, that remains to be seen. One of the reasons teams go to the Combine, I'm sure Rick Spielman is going to sit down and talk some turkey with AD's representatives.
Yeah, definitely. And there will be other free agent running backs on the market. There's a good crop of running backs coming in. And then, of course, you have the legacy of Adrian Peterson. So a very interesting topic for the Vikings here this offseason. Another one, Alex, and again, curious your perspective on this. You know, Matt Khalil, a player for the Vikings that they took early in the draft in 2012, was a Pro Bowler right out of the gates early in his career. Very tough and durable and reliable, played through injuries. The first time he ever missed a snap was this past season when he missed 14 games. And, you know, people tend to forget how reliable a guy is until you don't have that guy. The Vikings didn't have him last year. Left tackle is a premium position. What do you think about Matt Khalil and his pending free agent status?
You know, it's a great question, and I say that because, you know, what does Tony Sparano think of Matt Khalil? And it seems like the Vikings are in with Tony Sparano, and right now the Vikings have two linemen under contract for 2017. That is it. So, I mean, a lot of guys who may be leaving this team, it's a very strange situation along the offensive line. And there's some thought that you know, Tony's looking for maybe more of a Dallas Cowboy style line when he was there back in the early, in the mid 2000s before becoming Miami Dolphins head coach, maybe a bigger, more physical offensive line in some ways than what's going on. I mean, so Matt Khalil, you know what he is, you know the injury history. If you dive into free agency, what else is out there? And are you able to get, number one, an upgrade, or at least someone as good as Matt? Okay, and I'm not saying Matt was great. In fact, a lot of people think that for whatever reasons, Matt Khalil might be a finished product. This might be as good as he's going to get. There's a lot of concern about his lower body strength and whether he can truly anchor himself at the left tackle position. You know, that's been one of the knocks on him. Matt also may find a free agent market out there for him, for folks saying, hey, we're happy to work with Matt Khalil. Let's bring him on board. Let's pay more than what the Vikings want. So I think if Minnesota doesn't want to sign him, they better have an answer. And I'm not sure, does that answer, is that Kelvin Beachum? Is it Ryan Clady? Is it Russell Okung? I mean, and also, remember, too, you signed short-term deals with those guys, and they're chewing up a good amount of your cap space because you're not signing them long-term. You're not signing them 3-, 4-, 5-year deals where you can spread out signing bonus and get a little bit of cap relief that the Vikings may need this season. So, tough question about this offensive line right now. He's not the only one, by the way. Who's going to play right tackle?
Right.
Do you re-sign Andre Smith? I mean, is T.J. Clemmings going to work out there? I mean, T.J. at left tackle, unfortunately, and I love T.J. as a person, but he just wasn't a very good left tackle. So you have to ask yourself that as well. Who's going to replace Brandon Fusco in the starting lineup? I mean, all of these things. You know, I know Nick Easton is there, but, you know, all of these things are just questions about what was clearly the weakest part of the Minnesota Vikings in 2016.
Yeah, and, you know, on the point on T.J., Alex, and, you know, you and I should talk about this because I know that you know him well. You know, he really was thrust into a tough spot. I mean, here's a guy, as you know, transitioned from the defensive line to the offensive line during college. I mean, has not played the position that long. And a lot of people might look at struggles from last year and just want to throw him out. But I'm kind of like, here's a guy who is still in the baby stages of his career, is someone you can still mold, and he already has 30 games of experience. There's something you can work with there, maybe even if only as a reserve or a backup.
Exactly. Or, you know, shift him to guard. And, I mean, working with one of my SiriusXM cohorts, Bill Polian thinks he may be better suited there than having to play out in space a little bit at left tackle. So, Wabi, I'm with you. I don't think you automatically cut this guy because there is something to be said for the experience that he's gotten and the fact that he's a novice player. But, you know, again, this is what's happened sometimes when you have coaches, the transition goes, and, you know, you have one guy who's offensive line coach when a player is drafted, then another coach comes in, it's maybe a different bit of style, a different style, different type of teaching that's been going on. So, and, you know, of course, too, with the change of offensive coordinator last year, that's something, you know, midseason, that's something that's a change as well for everyone that's involved, the different style of offense, the quick passing game that the Vikings ran because they couldn't get good protection. So, and injuries racking this line. So I'm with you. I don't think TJ should be tossed by the wayside, but I'm also saying you can't bank on him as a starter.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think you're exactly right there. The Vikings, more than any team maybe right now in the NFL, know the value that there is in having some quality depth along the offensive line. Three straight seasons, they've been bit hard by the injury bug, and last year was the worst. I'm going to segue straight to a question I was going to ask you later, but you kind of got into it right now. The changing philosophy or style of the Vikings offense. We talked about Adrian right off the bat. Norv is no longer here. Pat Shurmur has taken over. Let's say, you know, you mentioned the quick passing game, Alex, but let's say the pass protection improves and let's say it's middle of the road. Is this still a quick passing offense, short passing offense with Pat Shurmur and Sam Bradford? Or do you think this is a group that can get more explosive?
Well, it can. The question too then becomes, okay, who's going to be getting open downfield?
Yeah.
Who's your speed guy? Mike Wallace was gone. They just haven't had anyone now to take the top off of that defense. So I think there can be more intermediate passes in terms of 15 to 20 yards. And I think Adam Thielen's done a great job, stepping up and becoming the team's number one wide receiver in that group. But this is an area that, again, I think the Vikings need to look at addressing by improving the speed of it and getting some more from Laquon Treadwell. Look, Laquon was injured more than was let on. I understand that, had real problems with his feet. Obviously not a good thing to have if you're a wide receiver, I can tell you that. So, yeah. You would hope that in year two there's going to be something a little bit more from him. But, but it was such a strange offense as well because the running game was so pedestrian. You really couldn't do very much at all. So, who's going to be running the football? What type of offensive line is this? Then I can get a little bit of a better idea about what Pat Shurmur can get done. To his credit, Pat adjusted last year. That's why you saw Sam Bradford set an NFL record for completion percentage. He was getting rid of the football so quickly. But you know what? I mean, all that dinking and dunking is only going to get you so far. In this league, you need to be able to have chunk plays, explosive plays. You're not going to sustain 4, 5, 6 drives usually of 12 plays or more in a game unless your opposition is terrible. That's just not going to happen on a regular basis, and that's the thing for the Vikings now. How do they remedy that? That's got to be something that comes from the personnel department as well. One and another name to watch, Cordero Patterson, so dynamic in the return game, started to, show some things on offense last year. I thought he was promising. We know he has the speed to take it to the house. Does he come back as an unrestricted free agent as well?
Yeah. I think you talked about the chunk plays, and, so often we talk about red zone offense, and if you're trying to grind touchdowns out from inside the 10, that can be tough, but that's an advantage of being able to strike from 20 or 25 yards out, right? I mean, you don't have to worry about grinding it out on a short field.
Yeah, and look at a team like the New England Patriots, for example. It's almost bend but don't break. I don't want to make it that simple, but what they're hoping you do is have to drive down the field and beat them. And they just feel like you're not going to be able to execute. You are essentially going to implode as the game goes on. You'll make those mistakes like the Atlanta Falcons did in the second half. You'll bust a pass protection.
Yeah.
Your offensive coordinator will screw up the play calling. Whatever it is that eventually you're going to beat yourself. And more often than not, way more often than not, they're right. That's where things have to get better for the Vikings. They got to start picking up chunk plays once again.
Yeah, and are you good with Sam Bradford as a Vikings quarterback? Do they give him another year on the contract? How do you think that unfolds here?
Well, I think they have no choice. I mean, depending on where Teddy Bridgewater's at. Look, I mean, Sam at this point is ahead of Teddy. I think we can all agree on that. There's a reason Sam was taken with the number one pick, and I thought at times Sam looked awfully good early in the season when the line was healthier. Things were really clicking, and the Vikings start 5-0. What was unfortunate for Teddy is that this was supposed to be his year in 2016 to really come on and develop and to get those snaps and get those reps and, hopefully continue to grow. Well, now that you have Sam Bradford and you weren't able to get into the postseason this year, are the Vikings going to be that patient and say, okay, no, we'll sit Sam Bradford at, $17 million, I believe his salary is, something to that effect, and we're going to play Teddy Bridgewater to see what we have in the future? It's a tough one to me right now. It really is. I think Teddy may be in a really bad spot of having to sit behind Sam Bradford for another year, and then Sam may move on at that point. And look, if Sam plays great, I don't put it above the Vikings to franchise tag him either. In some ways, it's a good problem to have with two quarterbacks, but again, not knowing what Teddy Bridgewater's status is and the team being so close to the vest on it, I just don't think you have a choice but to believe that Sam Bradford is going to enter the 2017 season as a team starter.
Right, I agree. And who knows, the Vikings may even add another quarterback aside from that if they want to ensure they have a quality backup. Sean Hill set to be a free agent, Alex, and there are going to be a handful or so of veteran quarterbacks that would be quality backups, I would say, this offseason.
Yeah, and there's going to be a flood of them hitting the market. And, but reality is that there's a reason that they're hitting the market, as you know. And I think you're really looking more for a backup. Although, hey, look, it behooves to me every team to draft quarterbacks.
Yes.
And why not? You take a shot on a guy, fourth, fifth round, you see what can happen. Maybe you find that you strike that type of gold. You look at how the Oakland Raiders are handling this now. They know Matt McGloin's going to leave in free agency, so they draft Connor Cook a year out. Now, Connor obviously wasn't ready to play in the postseason, but their thinking is Derek Carr is going to be our guy. we want to continue to develop backups in-house and then be able to move them on, you know, on a regular basis and have a sustaining plan so you don't have to dip into free agency for that type of backup. Yeah, and I think Sean Hill, I mean, look, again, he won't cost you very much. The big question is, okay, is he going to have to play for an extended period of time? That's all. That's a concern with Sean, but as far as a guy who can maybe get you through a game, maybe start a game and win it, again, how much of a running game is he going to have in support, we got to find out.
Wasn't the, you know, it's like you could draft a quarterback at some point every year and feel good about it, because isn't that essentially what happened with Seattle and Russell Wilson? They, I believe they signed Matt Flynn to a big deal, right?
Yes, they did.
In free agency, yes. And then they throw a third-round pick at this quarterback from Wisconsin that a lot of people didn't pay attention to, and look who it is, Russell Wilson.
Right, well, and you know, they admitted they made a mistake, and that's key, is you admit you made a mistake and you move on. Charlie Whitehurst, mistake. You thought he was a starter. He wasn't. Tavares Jackson, you guys know him awfully well up in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Not really a starting caliber type quarterback, but someone that wasn't bad to have on your team. But if you don't have that guy, you need to keep drafting and swinging for the fences until you finally get that guy, because it is a quarterback-driven league. It just really is. And, you know, look, we can have teams that rise up and have an incredible defense and you know, a running game, and they're going to have a good shot at getting to a championship sometimes. But I really feel, by and large, when you look at the quarterbacks who are winning Super Bowls, and that's what this is all about, these are guys at the upper level of their game.
Yeah. Couple more here before we get going, Alex. You know, next for the Vikings, when you look at their young core, Xavier Rhodes, Linval Joseph, Anthony Barr, Eric Kendricks, who do you lock up next if you're the Vikings? Who's the next target?
That's a great question. Well, you know, here's what's going to happen, and I'm just going to use this as a general one, because, look, it takes two to tangle as far as, you know, wanting contract negotiations. But with the way the salary cap continues to rise, and players, like we're talking, you know, there's been reports out there, for example, Kenny Stills, who is basically a two or a three receiver, depending upon how you look at it, for the Miami Dolphins. He's going to cash in at $12 million a year.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to see Kevin Zeitler of the Bengals, if he hits the market, score with a double-digit, you know, or an eight-digit signing bonus himself. I mean, for a guard, you know, like big-time money here, maybe average $10 million a year. I mean,
yeah.
So here's where I'm going with this. You got to strike with guys now that are your picks between rounds 2 and 7 and start to work with them on extensions after their third NFL season. When they are eligible to get extended, that's where you have to go. And you have to make sure that they don't leave. Now, you're taking a little bit of a calculated risk, you know, that the player will continue to excel and live up to that money. But I'd rather do that with a guy in-house than be spending a whole heck of a lot of cash on a guy who you've never worked with before, hoping that it works out. Look, to me, Xavier Rhodes should be the top priority, because he has become an upper-level cornerback. He is awfully good. I would think now with Captain Munderland and Terrence Newman both set to become unrestricted free agents. Not sure if the Vikings are able to keep both of them, or even if they want to. Mackenzie Alexander needs to step up and get ready to play. Trey Wayans, obviously a guy who can become a full-time starter and not have to split snaps. I mean, to me, Captain Munderland has a lot of value, but another team may value him more. And again, you got to get Mackenzie Alexander on the field. You spend a second-round pick on him.
Alex, how do you know so much about every team? I mean, it's like you've been covering. It's like you're on the Vikings beat right there. You know.
Well,
everything.
I mean, you gotta know your stuff. And Wabi, for you, I can't disappoint on the Vikings podcast. I mean, yeah. You know, look, I mean, I had to just carry my weight like
yeah.
You do every time.
Well, I'd say you're doing that. Hey, you know, you usually are hosting Late Hits on SiriusXM NFL Radio. You do other shows as well wherever you can help. But Late Hits is like your jam, and it's Gil Brandt and Bill Polian. That has got to be a blast to talk football with those guys on a regular basis.
Well, it's a learning experience as much as anything, I think, not just for the listeners, but for me as well. I mean, you're talking about, you know, with Gil and with you know, Bill, and then Phil Savage, and,
yeah.
You know, even some former players, you know, Jeff Schwartz has been on with me. AJ Hawk has been on with me. You know, I work with a variety of people. I'm really, really blessed. You know, at the NFL Scouting Combine, I'll be on the air with Rick Neuheisel Wednesday through Friday, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern. I mean, these are guys who are, you know, who you just try to pick up little things, and you can ask them questions about the game, and they'll answer them, you know? I mean, and it's just, that's the thing I enjoy about it. It's just intelligent, fun football conversation. It gets away from a lot of the drama that goes on. There's plenty of other places to get that sort of stuff, and the shock radio stuff. I mean, we're SiriusXM NFL Radio. The emphasis on NFL and on football, and that's why I just really feel very blessed to be able to work with guys. Bill, Hall of Famer. Gil, someone who deserves to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, basically the inventor of modern scouting. And trust me, he's got his old Viking stories as well. Tell us a yarn or two about Jim Marshall or the fearsome foursome, or talk about that pass in 1974 that Drew Pearson did or didn't push off on.
Right, exactly. Let's not get into that one. And Gil always knows where a guy went to college. Always.
Yes, he does. Usually his hometown, too, what he had for dinner.
Yes.
Those things, what was street address. I mean, all of those things. This is Gil Brandt. Yes, it just a remarkable, still going strong to this day. Began his NFL career, his first job, 1956, I believe, with the then St. Louis Rams.
That's awesome. It's good stuff, Alex. Thanks for a few minutes. You can follow Alex on Twitter, at Alex Marvez. You can catch him on SiriusXM NFL Radio like I do. You can read his stuff on the Sporting News, and we'll try and run into him at the Combine as well. Appreciate your time, Alex. We're going to see you as soon as this week down in Indianapolis at the Combine, and we look forward to that.
Thanks, Robbie. Be good, baby.
Okay, talk to you later. All right, so there you go. This Wobcast is over. A quick one as we continue to preview the Combine, because we're heading there tomorrow on Tuesday. We'll be there. So brush off your Vikings app. If you've got it on the back two or three pages of your phone, get it on the front page, because we have coverage of the Combine coming to you from Indianapolis beginning tomorrow on Tuesday, going throughout the week and the weekend. That was Alex Marvez, one of my favorites to follow. Again, his Twitter handle, at Alex Marvez, a good one to follow, fun to listen to, has a lot of knowledge. And we'll try and run into Alex and guys like Alex when we're down at the Combine in Indianapolis, see what they have to say about the Vikings and about the incoming class of players. So that's going to do it for this edition of the Wobcast. Nate and I will be coming to you again with another edition of the Wobcast this week, but this time it'll be from Indianapolis as we give you all the comings and goings from the 2017 NFL Scouting Combine. Until then, take it easy, everyone. So, yeah!